from the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois. This is the Closing Market Report. It is the 27th day of September, 2021. I'm Extension's Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Kurt Kimmel from Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois, and Chad Hart from Iowa State University Extension in Ames. We'll discuss the weather forecast with Mark Russo-Toom. He's at Everstream Analytics out of Chicago. And then as we close out our time together, the folks from Total Grain Marketing will join us, TGM, right here in Champaign, Illinois. We should talk with Greg Johnson today here on this Monday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. It is public radio for the farming world.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
December corn for the day settled at 5.39 and a half. That was up 12 and three quarters of a cent. The March contract at 5.47, 12 and a half higher. And May corn at 5.51 and three quarters, up 12 and three quarters. November beans, $12.87 and a half, 2 and a half higher. January at 12.97 and a half, up 2 and three quarters. And the March contract at 13.02 and three quarters, a nickel higher for the day. Bean meal at 3.37.30, $1.20. higher, in the bean oil for the day at 58.30, up 33 cents. Wheat futures soft red down a penny and a half at $7.22 and a quarter, and the hard red at 7.20 and three quarters, up 1 cent on the afternoon. Live cattle futures in Chicago at $127.80, down 35 cents. Feeders were off the $3 limit at $155.57 and a half, and lean hogs at $81.55, up $4.75 for the afternoon. Crude oil up $1.64 a barrel at $75.62. The diesel fuel or heating oil 3 2/10 of a cent higher at $2.29 and 7/10 of a cent per gallon. And the wholesale price of gasoline on the RBOB at $2.17 and 4 cents is 3 6/10 of a cent higher for the day. The Dow Jones Industrial Average at 34,815 is up about 140 points, and the U.S. Dollar Index at 93.33. That's down 0.005. We're now joined by Kurt Kimmel. He's at Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois, to discuss what happened in Chicago for the afternoon. Hi, Kurt. Thanks for being with us today.
Well, good day, Todd. Glad to be here. Thank you.
Well, it was a good day, particularly for corn. Why was that market higher?
Yeah, Monday's up days. They're good. Hopefully we're continuing to see these continue to come as. It's several things all coming together. I think that we continue to hear disappointing yields across Midwest, not all of them. Some areas that had some rain, we're hearing some 260, 270 corn yields. But, you know, there's a lot of 200. That's still good, but 20 to 30 bushels less. And, of course, there's some yields much less than that. But rapid dry down, hearing a lot of 16, 18% moisture. And a lot of urgency to come in and try to get this corn crop out before the wind kind of takes control of it here. A lot of wind in the forecast, and standability is the main issue. Even though beans are ready to go, seems like guys want to stay in the corn here as top priority. But saw some panic take place here. The end user's not covered. You can kind of start to see a little fear in their eyes as this market just continues to stay firm. Thought there would be some harvest pressure. We just don't see that here at the moment. Guys will commit and move to town what they've pre-sold. But otherwise, with the grain bins empty, the elevator empty, and these end users short here, we're getting caught in a little bit of a vacuum here. I don't think we'll just scream to the upside, but seeing this demand start to pick up, there was rumors that China's looking for some corn. They did buy 334,000 tons of beans, but the corn's kind of their priority here under the radar, and they're kind of going to be in another holiday mode here next week. They've seemed to have a holiday here last week, but next week they got another holiday coming, so there's ideas that they will kind of get some coverage on ahead of their Golden Week holiday, and that's probably going to generate some buying interest ahead of the grain stocks report. The other buyer here that we're kind of hearing from, I think from a pretty good cash source I have, is Canada. Canadians had a dramatic weather scenario here this growing season. Their production numbers down sharply, and particularly the feedlots out of Canada. They're coming into the U.S. market trying to secure some U.S. corn here, and they're paying as much as 80 over and just can't get it bought. And the significance of that is a lot of that corn is going to come out of the north, and when you look at the test weights out of the north and some of the problems they've had from Wisconsin, Minnesota, and the Dakotas, that's going to suck a lot of corn up from the U.S. into Canada there. And that's going to continue to, be a good demand base here as we move into this winter, Todd.
What do you see for the soybean?
Soybean-wise, harvest-wise, we're hearing anywhere from 55 bushel, but 70 bushels. Guys feel a little bit better about the beans. They're being cut in through here. It seems like we'll have another week here before we'll get into it. Corn harvest is expected to be 20% as a nation. Bean harvest about 12-15% complete as a nation here. The demand will continue to be on the Asian market here. China needs to kind of pick up their pace here to get on schedule here to get some stuff booked here before winter sets in.
On Thursday, as you mentioned, of this week at 11 a.m., USDA will release the grain stocks numbers. What do you think it will show for the final quarterly stocks for the old crop?
Well, old crop corn last month came in about 1.187. The average guess is about 30 million bushels less than that. Bean number, it was 175 million bushels on the monthly supply demand report. The average trade guess about 174, about a million bushels less than that. Could be just at the lower end of expectations. The country's empty. The commercials are empty. We'll see how those numbers come in, but that will be short-lived. And the focus now is on new crop, on yield reports, as that new crop grain's now entering the system, and the stock report would be kind of old news, confirming that demand was much better than what people thought.
On that, you talked about the kinds of numbers you're hearing, I think, probably from Illinois and East. Are they better in the West than producers expected?
Mixed. We get a sheet that shows just about every state involved, and you'll see about the same area. It'll come in as expected, maybe 10 bushels better than the next report come in, just a little less than expected. So it's highly variable, and it just depends, whether or not they had the rain. Two, on this tar spot, continue to hear some wild stories there. Fungicide, if you're sprayed twice, you're a little bit better shape than not spraying. It varies a lot from location and different varieties and so forth. So there's a lot of moving parts out there. Not heard a whole lot of news as you move on east. It seems like the glut of the harvest here is central Indiana, Illinois, and as you move on west and northwest from here.
And what did you see in last Friday's USDA report? The cattle and feed numbers were out, and I think that might have been playing some havoc in the marketplace today. Was that why we were down the limit in the feeders?
Well, we're seeing more of this kind of spread activity, actually. Yes, the cattle and feed numbers were a little heavier than anticipated, and so that kept the fat and the feeder market on the defensive one of the word go. However, on the pork side of the equation, the upfront numbers were just a little less than expected, but when you look on the intentions and so forth on further out, that created a bullish vacuum in the marketplace. We had the Decembers, the Februarys, up the limit, 475. Then you go on out to April, May's up over $4. Also, too, to help support this, we saw cutouts jump significantly in through here. So all we need to do is see some confirmation of some strong export demand to help support this meat rally in general.
Okay, thank you.
Very good.
Kurt Kimmel is with Bates Commodities in Normal, Illinois. Joined us here on the Closing Market Report for this Monday afternoon. You can find and listen to the whole of our program anytime you'd like on our website at willag.org, willag.org. Listen to us on demand from the website or look for us in your favorite podcast application. Places like Stitcher, SoundCloud, NPR One, Spotify, Google Podcast, and Apple Podcast too. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. We're now joined by Chad Hart, agricultural economist at Iowa State University Extension. Thank you, Chad, for being with us today. Let's start by talking a little bit about this Thursday's grain stocks report. This is the last quarterly report for the old crop marketing year. As of September 1st, do you have expectations?
We do, and I think what you're seeing is the market is, you know, giving us a little upward push here. We think things may get a little tighter even as we look into this report. I think it's also, though, a chance where we're wondering if we're going to see some production adjustments. You know, typically with the grain stocks report, it does set us up where, especially on the soybean side, USDA has typically gone back and made some adjustments on the production side to sort of balance things back up.
Yeah, so the way they've done that is they have enough numbers that they're able to actually do some calculations and be pretty definitive with what was used in the United States. Corn is much harder. However, USDA now says that this number is really pretty good and don't expect to make too many changes to it going forward. Year in and year out, that is. That would be their expectation for corn, too.
Year in, year out, that is truly the case here. And I think that's one of the things that's real interesting about both last year's crop and this year's crop, is that when you think about, you know, both last year and this year, these crops are coming in a bit early, a bit drier, and that usually gives USDA more confidence in those numbers as they move forward.
Okay, so now let's talk about the harvest of the crop that's coming in at this point. Usage demand is expected to be good. Supply, we'll know more about in October as USDA comes out with its next World Agricultural Supply and Demand Estimate, the Crop Production Report. Did you see good export markets for both corn and soybeans coming in the future?
Well, the hope was they would be good, but we also knew they probably wouldn't quite be the records we've had this past marketing year. And so what I've been looking for are those signs that we can hold most of that pace that we saw last year. And we're starting to see that, I'd say. When you're looking at corn, the numbers, at least so far, year over year, are still positive as we look out there. It was good to see Guatemala step in on Friday to make a bigger purchase as we look out there. And in beans, the pace has been running behind last year. But again, we see China start to work here and here, and especially this morning when we got a report that China has made a purchase on the bean side, and we're hearing them, you know, sniffing around. And anytime the rumor is China's buying, that tends to provide some support for the markets as they look forward.
Finally, what are you hearing from producers that are in the field there in Iowa?
So far, the reports for most of Iowa, I would say this, are the old better than I expected. I mean, when we're looking here, we are seeing a lot of variability in those farmer reports, but for the most part, some pretty good numbers coming out of the field, given the lack of rainfall that we saw across a lot of the state of Iowa.
Given that east of the Mississippi, most producers would say not as good as I had hoped. I don't think they would say terrible for any reason. Does that balance out as we look forward to that next crop production report?
I think it sort of does. And if you want to think of it this way, I think what you saw USDA with the September numbers is they sort of tempered expectations on both sides. They said, okay, they're still holding the possibility for records Eastern Corn Belt, but they made they brought up a lot of the numbers on the western side. I sort of look for that again. We may bring those numbers down on the eastern side, but could continue to see them bump up what we're seeing here out west.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, sir.
Chad Hart is with Iowa State University Extension, serves as an agricultural economist on the Ames, Iowa campus. Here on the Urbana-Champaign campus of the U of I, the University of Illinois, I'd urge you to sign up for the webinar series from the FarmDoc team that's been taking place this fall. If you're already signed up, don't worry about it. You're signed up for them all. Coming up on this Thursday at 11 a.m., I'll host the next event in that series. This one is entitled Managing Weeds in Variable Weather. It will include some insights from data mining by Marty Williams and Aaron Hager. Global climate change, of course, has been creating challenges for agriculture and will continue to do so in the future. During the past 50 years here in the Corn Belt, average air temperatures have risen and rainfall has become more variable, including an increase in the total number of extreme rainfall events. those larger than 2 inches. These trends are expected to continue, and weather and weeds are two stressors that can act simultaneously to affect crop performance. Yet their comprehensive study in tandem, that's pretty limited. So this webinar will discuss the most important relationships among weed control and weather variability on corn yield loss due to weeds. You won't want to miss it. Sign up now. You can do that on our website at willag.org, willag.org. Scroll down until you find the calendar. There in red, you'll find the headline, Managing Weeds in Variable Weather. And inside there, you'll find a link that you can cut and paste into your browser and get yourself registered for this free FarmDoc Daily webinar. It's one in a series this fall, and we'll begin at 11 a.m. on Thursday of this week. On this Monday, let's check the weather forecast with Mark Russo. He's at Everstream Analytics. Good afternoon to you, Mark. Thanks for taking the time with me today.
Good afternoon, Todd. Thanks for having me.
It is a nice day. It's been a really good several days across the Midwest for drying things out after a little rainfall. Harvest is progressing, really picking up now. Producers would like to stay in the field. What do you see for the next couple of weeks in all parts of the Midwest?
Well, Todd, bottom line is that the Midwest will be in a warmer than normal and drier than normal pattern much of the next couple of weeks. Again, it's not a totally dry pattern, but rain activity looks very infrequent, light, and scattered. And that combined with the warmer than normal temperatures will make for great harvest progress here coming up as we move into early October.
Well, tell me about the following week to 2 weeks in October.
Right now, we see kind of more of the same. Even, number one, some of the longer-term computer model guidance wants to maintain this drier, warmer pattern deeper in October. And that is actually supported by this La Nina base state that we're in, which typically La Ninas produce warmer falls in general here in the middle of the country. And it looks like at least throughout much of October, things are going to go that route this year.
What do you see for the hard red winter wheat growing regions of the Plains states?
Yeah, for especially the central and southern plains, the region is going to turn unsettled again. And again, this followed rain activity back last week. And while actually the next few days are on the drier side, we see the pattern turning unsettled and active across the plains. And that will improve conditions here for germination, emergence, and establishment of the new crop.
Speaking of active, before we turn our attention to South America, the hurricane season has been fairly active. Is there anything to worry about in that area?
Well, Todd, yeah, nothing to worry about here for the next 7 days. There is Hurricane Sam out in the Atlantic, but Sam does not pose a threat to any land area here, with the exception of maybe Bermuda, but even there looks to stay east of there. So bottom line, no threat to Sam.
And South America, then, what do you see for both Argentina and Brazil?
Well, first off, for Brazil, we continue to feel everything is on track with the commencement of the new rainy season across the core soybean acreage. And so this ridge of high pressure has begun to break down across Mato Grosso, and that's allowing for some rain opportunities. You saw that this past weekend, and we see more opportunities over the next couple of weeks. So to us, this is still a normal start to the rainy season, definitely not an early start, but kind of in that back end of the normal window for the start of the new rainy season. Now, down in Argentina, that is an area to watch, as Argentina has shifted drier, and now with corn planting starting up, more rain is going to be needed here down the road. And so the next couple of weeks really does not feature much in the way of any significant rain across the Argentina corn belt.
Hey, thank you.
You're welcome, Todd.
Mark Russo is with Everstream Analytics. Now let's turn our attention to the cash grain market. Greg Johnson joins us from the TGM facility, the Total Grain Marketing Facility. It used to be the Andersons right here in Champaign County. Good afternoon to you, Greg. Thanks for being with us. I'll bet farmers have been busy in the field today?
We were busy last week. A lot of corn came in last week, and we thought we'd see farmers switch over to beans over the weekend, but they stayed in corn. We're starting to finally see the switch over today to soybeans, although some farmers are sticking with corn. Concerns about stalk quality and corn going down in the field has kept them in corn, even though the beans probably are ready. I think you have to make a decision whether to do corn or beans because they're both ready now at this point. The moistures have really come down on corn. I think our average moisture right now is around 18%. And I think the beans, the way the wind's blowing and the sunshine, and I'm going to guess the beans are going to be 13% or below today. So both commodities are ready, and farmers just have to pick which one they want to do. But yes, definitely very busy today. And it really was busy all last week and over the weekend as well.
Yields are good?
Yields are variable on corn. Where it's good, it's really good. We've heard some 280 bushel yields, which I didn't, that didn't surprise me. And there's a lot of 220 to 230 corn, and that didn't surprise me. I guess what surprises me is the 180 bushel corn yields, and there's not a lot of that, but where they had those heavy rains or where maybe fungicides weren't put on, it just seems like the yields are really being penalized in very extremely wet fields or fields that didn't have fungicide on. So the range is 180 to 280 in our area. I don't know if we can get to 230. I thought we could a month ago, 3 weeks ago. I may have to lower that by 5 or 10 bushels. It's still going to be good, maybe just not quite as good as what I was hoping for 2 or 3 weeks ago.
Did basis follow the market up today?
No, the board's doing most of the work today, but basis levels are firm. Elevators like ourselves and others went in empty. So until we are sure we're going to fill the place up and have to put corn on the ground, I think basis levels will remain firm until we get into that last third of harvest and see if the crop really is consistently good. It's, you know, we're 20% done around here on corn, just getting started on beans. So as we get farther along, if the yields hang in there, then maybe we might see some pressure on the basis. But until then, I think elevators and, you know, want to fill up their space.
I think there you've had as much as 4 million on the ground before. Is that correct?
Correct. Yeah. Usually 2 to 3, but 1 year we did have 4 million on the ground.
Yeah. And what were you planning on this year, given the number of bushels you thought were coming in and how empty you were at the time?
Yeah, it depends on China. If China comes in to buy and if we can sell trains at the Gulf at good values, we may not put any corn on the ground. If China doesn't come in and basis levels sag a little bit, I guess the plan is to put 1 million bushels on the ground. But we're hoping we don't have to put any on the ground if the Gulf market is extremely firm this fall.
When was the last time you didn't have grain on the ground? Was that last year?
Last year we didn't. Yeah, there was an export market last year. So we were able to sell trains and the railroad did a good job of getting trains in here at the right time. So we didn't have to put any corn on the ground last year. So this could be the second year in a row. I hope it is. I hope the China business, the export business continues to stay strong.
And if that's the case, you would expect futures and basis both to stay strong then.
Yes, yes. That $5 price was when these futures got down to $4.97, $5, that seemed to be like a low to me. And we hit $5.80 this summer. Maybe we don't have to go back to $5.80, but that's probably the range is anywhere from $5 to $5.80. And believe it or not, we're right at the midpoint of that today at $5.40.
Hey, thank you. I appreciate it.
All right. Thanks, Todd.
Greg Johnson is with TGM in Champaign, Illinois. Helped us to wrap up this Monday edition of the Closing Market Report. It came to you from Illinois Public Media. It is public radio for the farming world.